see that? It's good to prophesy who you are, right?
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
I think only two people agreed with me. Giant killer. I wanted to wear it today because this was, my brother has one and also too. Model it, Tom. Same thing. It was at camp, and the guy was talking about being a giant killer and who you are in Christ. And of course, it's David. But I wore it today because I wore it today because it has a lot to do with what I want to talk about. So, and I may not even talk about it. So Father, I love you.
Yeah.
And I love who you are.
Yes.
I love your spirit and I love your son. Thank you for being with us today. God, I pray that as I speak, your words would come through me. Father, their ears and their eyes and their hearts would be open to hear what you would have to say to them. Father, even if it's not something I have said, but that they would hear. Let them hear you. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. So Bruce kicked off a series last week about the kingdom of God. And I tell you, that was, I got to listen to it. I loved it. It was such a comprehensive start to the kingdom. Now there is just so much more, right? You can't even like, because I said to him, I want to talk about love. But when you start studying love, oh, for 1,000, 10,000, for 1,000,000 words to try to describe love, to try to describe who God is, to try to describe his kingdom. Do you understand what you are a part of? Has everybody given their hearts to the Lord here?
Yes?
I think everybody has. Oh, you said no. I was like, Marla. We are going to stop service now. Because I think I see familiar faces. What's wrong with it? Okay.
Let's try that.
Is that better? It's not better? What should I do?
Bend it out?
Is that good? Is that good? You could hear the scraping or something? Or huh? Oh, the squishing. Well, that might be something else. But so anyway, he has been, huh? Huh? Ooh, my heart. Come on. The love. So you've been talking about the kingdom, and kingdom is probably one of my favorite parts of the word. I don't know, maybe it's been about 10 years, but Miles Monroe started, it was the same time I just put in, have you ever just put in like kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven and looked up every scripture on it? Well, I was so overwhelmed when I did that about 10 years ago that I was like, God, I have to know your kingdom. I have to know your kingdom because it even starts off with in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be. So I was like, I'm supposed to seek his kingdom first. His kingdom should be first. But I was like, I don't know what his kingdom is. I'm like, what's your kingdom, God? What is your kingdom? The Holy Spirit, I think, gave me a definition that has helped me when I read the word. Kingdom is who God is and how he operates. Okay, his kingdom from the very, in the past, was who God is and how he operates. His kingdom today is who God is and how he operates. And his kingdom is coming. It's who God is and how he operates. God is strength, right? That's who God is. And he operates in you being an overcomer, in you being more than a conqueror, right? Just to give you a few examples. Peace, he's peace. And then he gives you a peace that passes all understanding. When you step into the kingdom, when you've given your heart to the Lord, this is what you step into. His kingdom, peace, who he is. We have to know his kingdom. We have to know who he is, right? I love it because the kingdom in Luke 17, 21, it's, and guys, I'm going to give a lot of scripture that I'm not going to have her put up all the time because I just have a ton. Just so to save time, if you have paper and pen and you want to write it down, you know, feel free. But in Luke 17, 21, it says the kingdom of God is within you. So who God is and how he operates is within you. Okay, and it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom, this unshakable kingdom, right? So in Matthew 3:11, it says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. Okay? He'll baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. What I wanted to say about this for the kingdom is John the Baptist came saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right? His baptism was for repentance. His baptism was for you, I believe, to get into the kingdom. God, I recognize I need you. I have missed it, and I recognize that I can step into you and be a part of who you are, right? Yeah. Now, he says, but there's one that's coming that's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, right? There's a different baptism there. Jesus comes now to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Do you know what the fire of the Holy Spirit does? Yeah, what happened to them in the furnace? What happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace? What came off of them? The things that bound them came off. This is the fire that you continually walk in now in the kingdom. Right? We continually walk. If you walk in him, you will be free from those things that will try to bind you. Jesus went on and said, repent. He said, after that, he went on and said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he said, to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons, right? Freely you have received, freely give. So his was the repentance of to be baptized into the Holy Spirit and fire to bring about his kingdom in this world, to bring about healing to those that are around you. And it might be just a smile. It might be just a hello that sets somebody free, that saves somebody's life. So the exciting part of the kingdom to me is that we get to destroy the works of the devil. We are giant killers. We face our giants. We go towards, because why? We know who we are in him. So we get to destroy the works of the devil, all because of his great love, right? And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I'm going to talk to you about three things. God's love, it's so big. I tried to just dwindle it down. I wanted to talk about being in love with him. And I wanted to talk about us loving each other. Right? Jesus kind of summed it up, didn't he? Love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. So I believe in the kingdom, the very atmosphere is love. Right? If God is love, and that's in 1 John 4:16, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. Big promises, or big prophecy. You are in God, and God is in you. I love what it says, because it says, God is love, and you abide in him if you know and believe the love he has for you. So you couldn't come to him unless you know and believe in the love. But in John 3:16, you know this very well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved that he gave. Love gives. Right? Love gives. I believe his love, his kingdom, the kingdom of love, it's all encompassing. It's all inclusive. Ever been to an all-inclusive place? Everything's provided. It's all inclusive. Everything from God is birthed out of his love. Everything. His mercy, his joy, his peace, all of it is from love. It's love. That's what he gives. That's what he gave. That's why he gave Jesus, right? So we could be restored back to how it was in Eden with Adam. When you give your life to the Lord, you step into the kingdom of love. Guys, listen. When you gave your heart to the Lord, it says that you have eternal life. Do you know what eternal life is? Eternal life in John 17:3 says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. God so loved the world that he gave his son that we might know him. That's eternal life. It's not to go and live forever in heaven. It is. Let me rephrase that. It is, but it's to know him. That is heaven, is knowing him. I found definition. I'm going to go through all the words, the Greek words of love, but I really, most of the time, God is described as the agape love. And I love the agape love. And I found this definition, so I wanted to read it to you. Agape occurs when an individual sees, recognizes, understands, and appreciates the value of a person, causing him to behold this person in great esteem. Now, wait a second. I want you to think of this as God towards you. It occurs, I'm starting again, when an individual sees you, when God sees you, recognizes you, understands and appreciates your value, causing him to behold this person in great esteem, awe, and admiration, wonder, and sincere appreciation. Such great respect is awakened in the heart of the observer for the person he is beholding. that he is compelled to love. He loves you. You are precious to him. You are special. This kind of love knows no limits or boundaries in how far, wide, high, and deep it will go to show love to its recipient. Agape love will even sacrifice itself for the sake of that person. It so deeply cherishes. Agape is therefore the highest, finest, most noble, and most fervent form of love. Who doesn't want to be a part of that? When you receive him, that's what you step into. You begin your journey of love. How many are in love with him? You step in to love. Now, I have a couple misconceptions that we might have of love. We look at love apart from God. Okay? And most of the time, it's the world's love. And I think this is what's happening. The world's love can't fulfill us. Okay, they say, oh, just be this and you'll feel fulfilled. Just do that and you'll... And what's happening? The love that they're chasing after does nothing for them. It can't fulfill them and it cannot satisfy them. It'll never bring true happiness. God spoke this one to me. Love is getting everything we want or need. This is another misconception. Think of, if you're a parent, think of your children. Did you give them everything they wanted or needed? Needed? Yes, maybe. Wanted, though? If I remember this, hearing this one story where a lady said that her child was saying, I just want to go spend time at my friend's house for a month praying, you know, and she's like, well, you obviously cannot do that for your child. They can't just go, you know what I mean? So sometimes God knows, right? And that's why when you step into love, love trusts, right? So when we don't, I love Terry's story. He said he didn't get this job or the promotion. And he was like, what? Why? I was here. I should have gotten it. I hope I'm telling it right. I should have gotten it, but then somebody else got it. And, you know, they moved into that position. And Terry was like, okay, well, you know what? But like, where am I? Oh, right? Oh. They were let go. So when you step into love, it just trusts God. You trust him. And you may not think, wow, how, you know, that does not line up with what I was thinking or how that should go. I should have gotten that job and I didn't, you know. So love trusts him and it's not getting everything that we think we want or we need. Okay? So many people fall out of love with God. Or they blame God because of things like this, because of circumstances that happen in their life. And I have another misconception of God's love is that you can be separated from his love because of sin. Think of Adam and Eve. They sinned, right? So now they're hiding. Who comes to them? God does. He comes to them. It didn't. What was the separation? Their thinking. We can separate ourselves from him because we're afraid to bring our sin to him. He is not afraid of sin. He's not. And then when they did tell him what he did, what did he do? He provided for them. He helped them. He made a way out of their circumstance. That like frees me completely. Ooh, I don't like how I do this, God. All right, let me help you with that. Even if kids would go to their parents and say, Mom, I'm struggling with this. Dad, I'm struggling with this. They can help you, any kids in here. So sin cannot separate us. I'm not going to do this one, Sid, but Romans 8:37, it says, nothing can separate us from the love of God, right? He lists all these things. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor the powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. To me, that sounds like everything. Thing. Nothing can separate us from his love. And another thing is you are one with him. Big revelation for me. You are one. Nothing can separate you from his love. So that, therefore, that makes you one. You don't have to try to enter his presence because you're one. Right? That it's a different way of thinking, because sometimes I'm like, I don't feel you. Oops, I guess I don't. My husband's right here. I don't feel him. Now, if he were to come up and give me a hug, I'd be like, oh, I can feel him. But there's times when you're just in the room with him. Okay? And you can't always go by feelings, right? We walk by faith. But I do like feeling. Love is a choice with lots of feelings. Right? I think sometimes in the Pentecostal movement, we have made feelings be evil. Like they're too overwhelmed. They're too over there. No, tone it down. God is not a God of feelings. Have you read the Bible? Because he is a God of feelings. He tells us, be angry and sin not. Shout for joy. Shout for joy. So he is a God of feelings, and he loves being with you. He loves, loves, loves being with you. I also love when David said, where can I go from your presence? Right? Another one to support that we are one. We are one no matter where you are. You try to find him. I like to try to feel him. Like I do a class and I talk about stepping into the kingdom. And then stepping back out, because you do life. But there's times like I'm at Walmart and I'm walking, I'm like, uh-oh, wait a second. God wants to do something right now. And I'll be like, oh, help that person or say something to that person. I can tell you maybe five times of things that have happened where I've recognized his presence, his kingdom around me. And I'm like, ooh, I gotta do this. Or I got to pray for that person or say this to that person or help this person because I recognize that the kingdom is moving around. Okay. All right. So it was funny. I spent probably a good while. I probably can't tell how long, but I was asking God, what is love? You know, what is love? And he kept saying, it's me. And I'm like, no, but what's love? No, I know it's you. You ever do that? I know it's you. But what's love? And he'd be like, me. And then he spoke this to my heart. Only relationship with him will define love. He can't just write it all down for you so we can know what he said and be like, yay, I know love. He wants you to journey with him in love with him. So that's why I want to talk about being in love. He's been speaking to my heart, and this was, I thought it was great because it was a little bit before Libby spoke on love, and I forgot to read the prophecy, but he said, Lori, there is coming an in love revolution. And I don't even think it's necessarily coming. I think it's here. There are so many people. How many people's relationships have changed? I would say even in the last year or two, where you are so much more aware of the presence of He is wooing us. He is wooing us. The veil between heaven and earth is like so thin that he's allowing us to say, hey, here, look at my heart. Look, this is who I am. He's truly amazing. When you're in love, you simply obey. Right? It says, I know it says in John, if you love me, you will obey my commands. I started looking at that as being in love. When you're in love, you'll do anything. Will you do the dishes? Oh, yes. You know, even my husband has vacuumed. No, just kidding. But when you're in love, it's easy to do things, that stuff that you probably would never do. And that's why some people say, well, he's not the person that I married, you know, that I dated when I got married to, because he changed. Right? But when you're in love, you simply obey. It's almost like it's so irresistible, you can't not. You know, that's why when he speaks to you, go talk to that person. You're like, okay. It's fun to be in love. Being in love will change you. It sometimes can change who you are. Perfect love casts out all fear. Wow, has love changed me? I could tell you that when I was young, I would never stand before a group of people and talk. Never. If I'm in a group, I sometimes don't talk now. But when you're in love, he's like, this is what I put in you. This is what I want you to say. So then I'm like, okay, help me sleep. Help me. You know, there's lots of things that I'm trying to overcome. But you surrender easy when you're in love. You surrender. You long to know them. When you think of first love, right? You stay on the phone. Oh, how many brothers and sisters do you have? Oh, you know, it's all stuff that you're like, what? But you want to know him. You want, and that's in the kingdom. I know in the natural, we eat and we get full, right? In the spiritual, I think we eat and we get hungrier. And I think Bill Johnson says that. I can't get enough. I want to read his word. I have to read the daily thing because I'm like, what is he going to say? You know, what's his word say? You're in love. You want to know what he's saying. You want to know what he's doing. I will walk in anywhere and be like, God, what are you doing? Jesus, where are you at? Holy Spirit, what you doing? You know, you love to hear, see, talk to them. You love their touch. And sometimes how I describe like his touch for people, because there's some people that aren't feelers. Is like, get a hug from somebody, right? And then imagine that's how God hugs you. I remember I always love when somebody hugs me from behind. I don't know if it's because I'm shorter, but the first time I think that my husband hugged me, well, it wasn't my husband, but was from behind. And I was like, God, you're so cute. You know, I felt one time that God kissed me on the nose. And I was like, who kisses people on the nose? You would. Oh. I was like thinking, nobody does that. My little daughter, Kenzie, when she was probably six or so, she comes up and she kisses me on the nose. And I was just like, that's what it feels like when he hugs you. Now I feel like I can lean into him anytime and I get a hug. So I'll move on. So when you live, we want to live in love all the time. And I think sometimes that can be a misconception that you can't be in love all the time. I truly believe you can. We were created for love. We were created for true happiness, unspeakable joy, and pleasure. Okay, Eden means pleasure. He created Adam for pleasure. He created us, man, for pleasure. You were created to enjoy God and take pleasure in him. I like in Psalms 36, 8 and 9. They drink their fill of the abundance of your house. I like to think of it as his kingdom. And you allow them to drink from the river of your delights. Whew. For the fountain of life is with you. In your light, we see light. And remember at the woman at the well, she said, you know, or Jesus said to the woman at the well, you know, I can give you water that will cause you to never thirst again. And I was like, what? Jesus, you can give a water that'll cause us never to thirst again? And I'm like, what is this water? And what do we never thirst again for? But what does Jesus go on to say? He asks her, basically, go get your husband. And she's like, well, and he's basically like, well, you've had five of them, five loves. There's so many things, loves in our lives. He wants to give us a water that will take care of those loves. You will never thirst for the things of this world again. You will never thirst when you drink of the Holy Spirit, when you drink of the Father. Experience. Drinking is experiencing. Taste and see that he is tasting. Oh, it's really good. You experience. And then you see, wow, that was really good. Okay. So this love revolution, I love what revolution means. It's a sudden, radical, or complete change, typically in political or governmental. But wow, how we need a change in our thinking, right? A change in our thinking of love and what love is. When you step into love, you're encompassed by everything that he is. Mercy, peace, joy, faith, strength. Love will govern it all. When being in love awakens our natural perception to the unseen, our natural perception to the spiritual. It starts opening your eyes to who he is, because he's spirit, we're spirit. It'll open us up to him and seeing who he is. It'll awaken you to the glory realm, the atmosphere of his tangible manifest presence, his kingdom. When you're so in love with God, there's intimacy. And from this intimacy, you will bear fruit. Okay? And those are things that you will do. You don't have to worry about bearing fruit. You will. Because when you're in love, through intimacy, bears fruit. I love my daughter. It's been kind of fun this whole week. We've been getting together, but she's like, Mom, God's love. And a couple can't even have kids without intimacy. And I was just like, wow. You can't, out of your love in husband and wife, you bear fruit. And that's the same with him. We will bear fruit when we love him, when we hang with him.
If you guys want, write this one down. Song of Songs 8, 5 through 7. It just talks about his amazing love, his fiery passion love. So when you'll bear fruit. So if you'll go to John 15, and I want to read 1 through 8. I know this is long, but John is such a good book of the Bible if you want to read about love, even 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And it's about the vine and the branches. So it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. That means him and you, you and him, in love, maturing love. They think of the pruning as a maturing love. When you cut back, though, and then you'll produce more. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is part of that in love revolution, that you will do everything birthed from love, from him. You'll spend time with him, you will know him, and you will bear fruit. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The word in you is alive and active. The word is in you.
Yep.
Isn't it so fun? You get to partake of so much in him. That's why it's like, how do you put this down on paper?
Right.
The kingdom is so awesome. God is so awesome. So we will bear fruit. David, sorry. David longed for the courts of the Lord. Don't you like to look at David's life? He was out in the fields for how long? A long time. I don't even know how long. But he worshiped God, and he said, I long to be in his courts. He found God. He fell in love with God. And then what did his life do? Produce fruit. Even his songs would help the king, right? The king, the demons or what was oppressing the king couldn't even stay on him because he would sing a song, right? And that's what your life can do. Giant killers. The Father did speak this to me. He told me about Revelation 2, 4, and 5. He said, yet I hold this against you, that you have left your first love. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. How far have you fallen? We can get so busy with religion that we forget relationship with God. We get sidetracked from our role as lover. Good can sidetrack you. Church, serving, ministry. I want to teach, though, this is just what I feel like he was telling me. He says, repent and do the things you did at first. Change what you think is important. I loved thinking about Jesus. He gets baptized by John, right? And he comes up out of the water, and what does God say? This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Has he done anything in ministry yet? Not one thing in ministry yet. And I think And then maybe it's me, but sometimes I think that my ministry is what, you know, proves that I'm bearing fruit, or, you know, and then it's almost scary how many pastors that you can talk to that say they have no time for a relationship with God. You know, and I think if it can happen to them, it can happen to us. Sure. You know, because we get busy with life, right? Yeah. Doing ministry is not what is important to God. Healing for God, doing anything for God is not what's important to him. It's being lover. It's being with him. I think what A.W. Tozer was saying was, If you're in ministry and you're not in love with him, stop your ministry and get back in the closet until you are. And I was like, wow. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. With all you are. With all... Love him with all that you are. Those four things that he lists to me is everything about you. And then you say, how? How do you fall in love? Do you say that? I can only tell you from my life, I practice his presence. When I wake up, I just talk to him like I would say good morning to my husband. And we just talk. I'll dig out whatever it is around me. And it's amazing to me sometimes how he just puts stuff in my path that I've asked him about. When I read his word, he'll highlight things to me. You know, this is how you fall in love with him. You just talk to him. And in worship, well, I think for worship for me was, in when I fell in love with him, was almost the healing and the biggest change part for me, is because he would sing the words back to me. Or I'd be like, I love you, God. And he'd be like, I love you, Lori. You know, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. And it would just bring such healing to my heart. Such healing. No, just knowing how much the God of the universe wants to be with you, adores you, is just mind-boggling. Yeah. But it's so good to just practice his presence. Then he started giving me like visions. You know, and I just would just rest, and all of a sudden I would start seeing things. And now that I've purposed to expect his voice and expect to see from him, he's been showing me more and more things. And he just kind of keeps pulling back his heart or the veil to the kingdom. And I love it. And I feel like I just keep falling more and more in love with him. You'll say things and I'll be like, I kind of chuckle, or somebody will pray and I'll chuckle because he's like just squeezing me, or, you know, tickling me, or what. It just makes me laugh, though, because I'm just so happy inside. So if we're ever praying and I laugh, don't get offended with me, because I'm not laughing at you. I'm just, what you're saying is probably striking my spirit, and it's making me so happy because of the presence of God. But I love to expect to hear from him. And I think that might be one of the biggest things, even in just expecting to hear him through others when they speak, just expecting, and even surrendering. I'll surrender because I want to smell. I know some people have been saying this, but I smell this, and I'm just like, I want to smell. I want my senses here to be activated in the spirit realm. Okay. And you guys, you know, at first, this is like kind of going to the moon. We wouldn't know, unless you're trained, we wouldn't know how to operate there. Right? Yeah. Everything's different. Here's gravity. There's no gravity. There's so many things that, and that's kind of how I'm finding the kingdom and how the Lord is. He's just so awesome. So 1 John 4:19, I'm going to talk about loving others now. 1 John 4:19 is we love because he first loved us. So we can only love if you know how much he loves you, or if you know his love for you. If you don't know his love for you, then you won't love, right? You will only love to the degree you are loved by him. And we want to love others correctly, right? Not out of a sense of fulfillment. I think I did that a lot. I would do stuff just, oh, that makes me feel good now. Oh yeah, I got my... But we want to love others how God would love them. So Jesus says in John 13:34-35, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So when you love him, you will love others. You'll be marked by love. I love this. I tend to go out to eat a lot, and I like Olive Garden. Well, we got to know this. We tend to get like waiters or waitresses at each place that we go to. And there was this gentleman that was at Olive Garden for a while, and he started getting to know us, but he was a Christian. But he's fallen away from the Lord and he's into the world, but he's just like, Christians have hurt me. All they do is judge, da, 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 you know, and I was like, oh, I said, well, you know, kind of like, that's okay. I was like, we can love, you know, anyway, but just by our living, just by coming, he would come and sit down to me, Lori, you know, he'd tell me about stuff that's going on. And I'd be like, well, you know, David, this and this. And he's just like, you don't think that that's wrong? And I was like, well, if that's, you know, he felt like from me that I wasn't judging him. And he said, your whole family, he would tell you, right, Briley? Your whole family, you guys just aren't like Christians. And I was like, ew. I'm like, what are we like? You know, but he felt like he could come and sit down and tell me anything. And I was like, oh, I got this from my mother. Because my mother was the same way. You could tell her, and she wouldn't. She'd be like, well, you know, how's that working out for you? You know, type thing. Right. What are you going to do about that? You know, that probably wasn't a great decision. Yeah. You know, but never like a major judgment. But it always made you feel like, oh, I want to do something better. I want to do it a different way. But loving one another. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, which we all have heard this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. Wow, his love will just knock out envy right out of you. It does not boast. The only thing you'll be able to boast in is him. And it's so humbling, guys. Whew, what he does through you, because you know it's not you. You can only boast about what he's done through you, but it's not. It's you just letting him do it. But it's so humbling. Love is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. That's what love does. So if you know, sometimes like, God, I think I'm keeping a record. Okay. And he'd be like, here, let me help you see that. Let me help you see it a little differently. I'm telling you, when you go to him, when you see things that you're like, wait a second, I was easily angered. Okay? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. I have loved, love never fails, because I tell you what, you keep pushing that with love with people and it'll change them. It'll break them down. They'll be just like, they shouldn't be talking to me. Well, but I am. And I have no ill will towards you. It just breaks. You can see love when the Holy Spirit shows you how to love somebody, how it breaks them down, and they have to know Jesus, because they have to know the love that you've given them. Luke 6:31 says, do to others as you would have them do to you. Philippians 2:4 says, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the others. James 1, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. James 2:15 to 16, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? We meet the physical needs of each other. Sometimes we need to know them. Sometimes God can tell us, right? But sometimes we need to know needs. That's what I always find is strong, or in strength within a body. Because it's much easier to pay for a mortgage with a 100 people than it is with, you know, 3. Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. That was Ephesians 4:32. And then Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And all I did was Google, how should we treat? How should we love? And that's what the word says. Now the Holy Spirit, right? With Holy Spirit, there is no limit. Right? Yeah. To love, to joy, to peace, to patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. There's no limit. There's no law set on that this far and no more. You can love, or you can be a peace. You can be joy. He's amazing. Do you realize what you stepped into when you stepped into the kingdom of love? The kingdom of God. And stand with me. And by the way, this love will bring you the greatest freedom ever. Yes. Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. I love thinking about the freedom we have in God. I don't have to carry any more bags of bitterness, anger, insecurity. No more bags. I'm free. Because he's changed me. His love has changed me. I wanted to know if you wanted to do a prophetic act where you come down to the front is saying, I'm stepping into the kingdom, the kingdom of love. I was going to offer salvation, but I think everyone is saved. Maybe you just want a touch of his love today. I'll have people that'll pray for you. Maybe you just want a hug. But even if you don't feel anything, or just know that you're in him and he's in you, and that nothing can separate you from his love. So go ahead, come on down, and there will be people, lovers, that will pray for you. Just lay their hands, prophesy over you, or just pray over you, speak over you. Go ahead, you can come up front. Thank you, Jesus.